Blog Talk Radio. Right, here we are. Shalom, shalom. Yisrael, hallelujah. Saints of the Most High, Yah. Glory, glory, glory. Glory to the King. Hallelujah. Bless y'all, saints. It's good to be here with you this evening. Hallelujah. Elder Donnie here, your host. Hallelujah. Glory to the King. Look, saints, before we get started, I'm going to let you know, I'm not sure if the chat is working, the chat room is up or not. It's not up on my end. However, if it is, if you get to see it, if you can view it, then you guys go ahead and chat and do what you need to do. But I can't see anything. I won't get any messages from you. Hallelujah. I just got an in-house sound check, and the sound is coming through loud and clear. Glory to the King for that. Glory to the King. Hallelujah. So we're going to go ahead and get started, then, saints. Hallelujah. To all the saints that are scattered abroad, the beloved of Yah. Those of you who are called to be saints, grace to you and peace from Yahweh, our Father, and Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus the Christ. Hallelujah. Bless you all. Thank you all for being here this evening, saints. I'm your host, Elder Donnie, on this edition of the Straightway Truth by way of Blog Talk Radio. And I welcome you all my brethren, all my friends, foes, and enemies alike. Hallelujah. Welcome to this edition of the Brother segment. Glory to the King. Hallelujah. But as I start to show off, we've all praise and honor to the Most High for all that He's done for us, for who He is. Hallelujah. And continually to bless us. Hallelujah. And revealing unto us even more so the workings of Satan, setting His people free, showing us, you know, how we've been bound or how we've been deceived by the enemy. And so we're grateful for all that He's done. He's done so much for us. Hallelujah. I also want to give honor to our beloved pastor, Pastor Charles Dowell Jr. And so grateful for him, for all that he does for us, all of the work that he does, you know, for us to sacrifice, you know, the living example that we have today in this time, you know, with all of the negativity, you know, with all of the folk want to, raise up their head, all of the enemies, and put out videos and negative words and comments or whatever they do. You know, it doesn't stop the true man of Yah. He still goes strong and still goes hard because realizing that he has a mission and a job to do, and he's going strong, and we're here to back him up, and I'm just thankful for that. I'm grateful, you know, for him. Hallelujah. So bless you, Pastor. And to all the leaders in Israel, Teacher McKnight, hallelujah, Deacon Bell, all of the elders in Israel, and the heads of the assemblies, hallelujah. Glory to the King. We're going to get started here, saints. As I always start out the show reading from Psalms 19, 7 through 11, and you know, keeping that same tradition going forward here. And it reads, "The law of Yahweh is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of Yahweh is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of Yahweh are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of Yahweh is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of Yahweh is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of Yahweh are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold, sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. Moreover, by them is thy servant warned, and in keeping of them there is great reward." Hallelujah. We're grateful for the law. Hallelujah. We're grateful for the whole essence of Yah, you know, choosing us to abide by His laws and to even give us something to be governed by so that we're not tossed to and fro. You know, we're not misguided and undecided like the rest of the world, lost. You know, I remember Pastor bringing this out to us a few, a year or so, or maybe 2 years ago or something like that. He said that, you know, y'all should really read this to yourself, you know, on a constant basis. You know, rehearse these words in your ears and get it in your conscience, in your mind, and in your heart. And you know, the reason I'm thinking about it, you know, we need to hear these words. We need to know how pure Yah's law is. We need to know that there is judgment, you know, in his law. We need to know that there is, he warns us, you know, we are forewarned of any actions. We have a choice to make. And we need to know how precious and how good Yah is. And I think if we get that through our minds, we'll be better off. You know, all throughout, I know my life, especially growing up in the church, I was told that the law was done away with. It wasn't no good. Or, you know, they reading out of that Old Testament and, you know, they're going to be finding themselves under a curse. But, you know, I ask today, the question is this, show me the curse, because he plainly lays out, you know, the consequences, whether you obey his law or whether you disobey, you transgress. You know, there's blessings and there's curses. And, you know, the majority of the people who sit there and dispute the law and have an issue with it, you see these people with these same plagues. You see them cursed, whereas they say the opposite, and they say that we're cursed. But we see the truth. We know the truth, and I'm thankful for that, and I'm truly grateful. Don't take it lightly. And that's why I just thought to show off reading that, because it just truly is a breath of life. It's awesome. Yah is just truly good. I'm going to continue on reading in Psalms here. Psalms 119, starting at verse 1. And I'm going to read from the scriptures version. And it says, blessed are the perfect in the way, who walk in the teachings of Yahweh. Blessed are those who observe his witnesses, who seek him with all the heart. Yea, they shall do no unrighteousness. They shall walk in his ways. You have commanded us to guard your orders diligently. Oh, that my ways were established to guard your laws. Then I would not be ashamed when I look into all your commands. I thank you with uprightness of heart when I learn the right rulings of your righteousness. I guard your laws. Oh, do not leave me entirely. How would a young man cleanse his path to guard it according to your word? I have sought you with all my heart. Let me not stray from your commands. I have treasured up your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. Blessed are you, O Yahweh. Teach me your laws. With my lips, I have recounted all the right rulings of your mouth. I have rejoiced in the way of your witnesses. As over all riches, I meditate on your orders and regard your ways. I delight myself in your laws. I do not forget your word. Do good to your servant. Let me live and I guard your word. Open my eyes, that I might see wonders from your Torah. I am a sojourner in the earth. Do not hide your commands from me. My being is crushed with longing for your right rulings at all times. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That's from Psalms, King David. Man, I tell you. Well, I tell you, we get that type of love and desire for Yah's law, we'd be all right, or we truly would be. But I'm just grateful, saints, just to be here this evening with you in fellowship, as always. And I thank you all for joining me, who all come out, especially the faithful ones who are here every single time. Bless you all. Appreciate you, Brother Paul, for hosting, as you do always, you know, with all of the shows. And just thank you so much for your labor of love. Glory to the King. And, you know, it's stuff like that. It's like things like Brother Paul, people like Brother Paul and Brother Steve, Sister Wendy. And there's many other saints all over, you know, that are faithful and, you know, who join together, one heart, one mind, and who get it and comprehend it. Today I'm going to talk just a little bit about that, you know, unity, charity, and servitude, and just, you know, us as a people, you know, as a whole, especially those of us who are not yet on community, who have aspirations to be on community, to live on community, and to live that lifestyle, and just to be joined together, with the saints in common unity. Just talk a little bit about that. Before I do that, I'm gonna go ahead and Deuteronomy 4, 1 through 8. All right, Deuteronomy chapter 4, starting verse 1. It says, "Now therefore hearken, O Israel, unto the statutes and unto the judgments which I teach you, for to do them, that you may live and go in and possess the land which Yahweh, Elohim of your fathers, giveth you. You shall not add unto the word which I command you, neither shall you diminish aught from it, that you may keep the commandments of Yahweh your Elohim, which I command you. Your eyes have seen what Yahweh did because of Baal Peor, for all the men that follow Baal Peor. Yahweh the Elohim had destroyed them from among you. But you that did cleave unto Yahweh, your Elohim, are alive, every one of you this day. Behold, I have taught you statutes and judgments, even as Yahweh, my Elohim, commanded me, that you do so in the land whither you go to possess it. Keep, therefore, and do them, for this is your wisdom and your understanding in the sight of the nations, which shall hear all these statutes and say, surely this great nation is a wise and understanding people. For what nation is there so great who had Yah so nigh unto them as Yahweh our Elohim is in all things that we call upon him for? And what nation is there so great that had statutes and judgments so righteous as all this law which I set before you this day?" Hallelujah. So the command was for Israel, our ancients, man, to when Yahweh, to not forget, to not forget his laws, to not forget his statutes, his judgments, when they were to go in and possess the land that he was to give them. You know, and even today with us coming out of, captivity of our minds and being in bondage, the same goes for us. And not to be influenced by the nations around us. It's so easy to give in, especially when you were born and raised in the system, to distance yourself from it. The ties are strong, the chains are real and the bondage is real, but the commandment is for us all, saints, not to be influenced by them. Because, he blessed us, to be a great nation. We have his laws. They're nigh unto us. We're great people. The other nations are supposed to look at us. They are supposed to look at us and see, what a great nation that we are because of his laws, and because we don't live the way they do. They're supposed to notice there's something different about them. Hallelujah. And even in Jeremiah 10, he told us he warned Israel. He said, not to learn the ways of the heathen, because the ways of the heathen, they're vain, and their customs, they're vain. And we know the rest. We know what they're getting ready for. We know what they're gearing up for. And even now, in the beginning of this month, we see the people getting ready, preparing themselves for the old Mary Christmas. They're getting ready with their trees and the decorations and all these things. We see all this stuff going on around us, but we're warned not to let that stuff affect us, because that stuff is vain. That stuff is worthless. Hallelujah. And even the way that they live, it may seem like joy. It may seem like pleasure and a good time. For only a short time, it seemed that way. But there's a lot of love, there's a lot of death, there's a lot of hell, there's a lot of, misery and stress and anxiety. And all of these things come along with that life. So we are taught, saints, not to even be influenced by that stuff. But today I'm going to talk, like I said, a little bit about unity, charity, and servitude. I'm going to just get straight to the point, But the inspiration of this broadcast, it all pertains into working together to accomplish a goal, become more tribal in thought and actions, striving to be more of a servant at heart, and patterning our lifestyles after the Messiah. And a lot of this really stems from my interactions with the brethren, the ones who live around Straightway, the ones who are close by, who make the commute every Shabbat, and because we try to get together and become mutually assistant as a group, in order to help out the saints at Straightway and to be of help, as well as just coming together as a unit. Because you come out of the city, it's not the easiest thing to come straight out of the city and move on a community, especially one like Straightway. That it just doesn't work like that. It takes some time of purging. It takes some time to be cleanse and that mind to be transformed, because we're so used to luxuries and we're used to the conveniences and all of the sparkle and the bliss and all of these things that the world has to offer. But to be able to come and submit yourself and humble yourself and to live a quiet and peaceful and meek life is not the easiest of things to do. So realizing that, I know for myself, I see myself. I deal with myself on a lot of issues, but when we come together as a group doing different things, we see each other. It's easier to see someone else and their faults and mistakes rather than seeing your own. And but the thing about it is we deal with these things, and that's one of the things that prompt me to go this route in the show, just because of just seeing how there's still a lot of selfishness. There's still a lot of individualism and independent thinking. And we get that from this world. We get that from, the people that are, that are around us, that's around us, because that's the way they live. I mean, that's a lot of people, a lot of us, that's the way we were raised, even myself included. I say this, I grew up in a house. I was the only child in the house, although my dad had another child, but I was the only one living under that roof. And a lot of things that, were given to me. And I didn't know it for a while how selfish I was. Just didn't know. And I'm seeing a lot of things in myself that need to be changed. And I can see things in the brothers, and I see things in myself as well. And it's not the, you don't want to, you know how it is when you really finally see yourself and you come to terms with, look at that. That's not really pleasing, But however, we got to deal with these things. And just real with it and just straightforward. That's the only way we're going to change. But I'm grateful for the preaching that we get that exposes these things even more so. And, one of my prayers daily is for the Father just to show me, myself, just show me things that I need to really work on, things that I'm blinded to or ignorant to that I just can't see. I just don't see it. Reveal it unto me so that I can know. Make it plain. Make it clear to me. Hallelujah. So, but, just, in that sentiment and that thought, we look at a lot of our ancients, a lot of the things that they dealt with upon coming out of Egypt, we remember the murmurings and the complaining. And, Pastor went over just yesterday talking about the leeks and the garlics. And, we often those things when it came time. They wasn't, content with manna, with the bread of angels. They wasn't content. Y'all knew it was sufficient enough for us, but, all the things, dainty meats and all of these things. And even throughout the activities, we see Israel, rather go back into bondage to these different nations because they enjoyed the plentifulness of goods and the ease of life. Rather than to have to suffer and to, just humble themselves and be transformed and come up out of that, So that's one of the things that we all need to be striving toward, just ridding ourselves of the filth of this world in our minds, and just really clearing it up. But one of the things we need to, work on, becoming more tribal, and even with me just comprehending what it even means to be tribal. You know, the definition of it, as dictionary.com puts it, is a social group comprising numerous families, clans, or generations together with dependents or adopted strangers, a group of persons having a common character or occupation or interest. You know, I have I was reading this article. It was a little short article on online, and it just really talked about how, you know, Americans are really, you know, really are selfish. And it says, it's by Popular Science, and it says the obvious, science confirmed the obvious, that Americans are selfish. And, you know, we know that for a fact. And we don't need anybody to tell us that, because many of us, you know, we're working on that. But it says, if I'm going to read a little bit of the article, and it says, if you need an American to do something, don't mention the common good. Meaning, don't mention the whole, don't mention the whole group. Don't mention teamwork or caring for others. There was a new study in psychological science that found that while trying to get Americans to think and act interdependently, it failed and may have even decreased motivation. After being prompted to think about either independence or interdependence, a group of Stanford students were given difficult word puzzles to solve and later a physical challenge. And that physical challenge was squeezing a hand grip for as long as possible. Chronologically, independent European Americans fared much worse when primed to think about interdependence while completing the task. For bicultural Asian American students exposed to both independence, loving culture of America, and a more communally based East Asian culture, thinking about either value set was equally motivating. So basically, they're saying that white Americans, you know, they pretty much didn't do well in these exercises when it came down to working together. And but these Asian, more of an Eastern mindset of the people, so they were exposed to this culture as well as their own. They did well with this type of these exercises that they were engaged in. And it goes on to say that white American students were less motivated when prompted to think about interdependence. In another test, students viewed a website about a class promoting environmental sustainability. White American students said they would put less effort into the course when the description emphasized things like working together and taking other people's views into account, rather than when it prioritized taking charge and being unique. So if it had to do with working as a group or considering others, they didn't want to do it. They didn't want, white Americans didn't want to have nothing to do with it. But if it had to do with them shining, or them being promoted, or them being seen, and them being able to do things by themselves, then they were all for it. Just to continue, I'm going to read a little bit more. It says, just because, I guess this is one of their replies, just because we don't want to take a class about working together doesn't necessarily doom us. Though these findings might not apply as neatly to a real world scenario, they do hint at how we can be encouraged to work more collectively. Currently, if we want to inspire Americans to think and act interdependently, it may work best to actually emphasize their independence to motivate them to do so. So in other words, you have to pretty much gas them up and soup them up and tell them how much, how well they do things and blah, 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 in order for them to get a thing done. But anyway, the reason I brought that out, because I thought that was, I mean, it's just the truth. And that's any American. That's not just, I mean, you can ask anybody living in this country or, pretty much, I mean, you know, they can understand that it's just the way that it is. It's set up like that. It's greed. Is all about self and pleasing self and doing things alone. you know what I mean, and promoting self. So that's the type of culture that we live in. And see, that's why I read earlier how we shouldn't be influenced by these things. It's not given unto us, Israel, to be like that. We're more of a tribal people. We do things more together, and it's about the common good, not about individuals. We're a body. We're a body, and all of us have a role to play in that body. Hallelujah. And it's not, you know, about being so much about being seen and recognized and, you know, look at me, here I am, whereas I can do this better, or, you know, I don't get that. And, you know, just as a group, the brothers off the land, you know, we were getting together to do our latest thing as we worked together, our latest project. And it came up, you know, coming together to get one particular item. And it just showed how, you know, how many different people have different, you know, views and opinions. And then when it doesn't match up to what, you know, each individual want, then, hey, I'll go on my own, or I'll do this on my own, or I can get my own, when that's not the whole case for this project. The project is for us to work together, you know, to come together, that everybody get the same item, and we help each other to get the same item. But you'll be so surprised how many people want to branch off, you know, and downplay it and look at it as, well, you know, I could do better. But the whole reality is, it's about working together and coming together. In that article, it mentioned a couple words, independent, and I'll just go over that, and as well as interdependent. Independent, meaning not dependent, such as not subject to control by others, self-governing, not affiliated with a larger controlling unit, not requiring or relying on something else, not contingent, meaning likely not to happen, not looking to others for one's opinions or for guidance in conduct, not bound by or committed to, not requiring or relying on others for care or livelihood, independent. And so if we look at the other word that was mentioned, interdependent, which means the exact opposite, which means that you are dependent upon someone else. You are mutually connected or dependent. All right. And the word mutual, because that's the word we, you know, we use from time to time, mutually assisted, a group. It means direct, it means directed by each toward the other or others, having the same feelings, one for the other, enjoying their mutual, okay, hallelujah. But anyway, it just has to do with, you know, coming together, being on the same page, one accord, sharing together, helping out, you know, just working together, basically, what we're not used to doing. Let's look at Ecclesiastes and the KJV. And it says, Ecclesiastes 4 and 9. Two are better than one, because they have a good reward for their labor. For if they fall, the one will lift up his fellow. But woe to him that is alone when he falleth, for he had not another to help him up. Again, if two lie together, then they have heat. But how can one be warm alone? That's a question mark. Ecclesiastes 4:12 says, and if one prevail against him, two shall withstand him, and a threefold cord is not quickly broken. Hallelujah. So we see how it's better to be, you know, with we can get more accomplished than this, if we try to take on things on our own, and you know, there's strength in numbers, provided that we're on the same page, hallelujah, in the same mind. But you know, a lot of it is trust issues. You know, we have issues with trust. You know, we can't fully trust each other because we can't be trusted. At the end of the day, you know, we view things from our own carnal lenses. Moving on, Let me see real quick. Here we go. Matthew 18 and 19, it says, "Again I say unto you, that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them." Hallelujah. So we can see right here, you know, Yah is in the midst of it two or more gathered, you know, together. You remember how Messiah even sent the disciples out. He sent them out by two. You know, he didn't send them out, you know, just one here or there. You know, we need to strive to be more of servants. You know, when I think of that, it comes to mind is, you know, obviously the Messiah. His whole life and his purpose was to be a sacrifice, and he came to serve. He sacrificed on the account of us. But I also think about, you know, another one of our ancients, Tobit, and I often refer to Tobit because just his lifestyle, his character, from what I read about, you know, it is impeccable. You know, this is a man who totally put himself on a back burner for Israel, for his people, and even risked his own life. He wasn't so concerned about, you know, his well-being, but it was for the others. And this man had a high position, and he let all that go to waste in order to, you know, serve Israel. I'm going to read a few things from Tobit chapter 1. That's in the Apocrypha. Tobit chapter 1. I'm going to start at verse 16. And Tobit was from, you know, the tribe of Naphtali. They went into captivity in Nineveh, in the Assyrian, in the land of Assyria. They, as I mentioned earlier, you know, he decided not to even partake in any idolatry along with his people. He chose to be committed to the Father, and he continued to go to Jerusalem every year as he was commanded to. And because of it, because of his loyalty and his obedience unto Yah took care of him at the end. And he was blessed overall. He had to deal with, you know, some persecutions and some hard times, but he was spared. He was taken care of, as well as his son, Tobias. But I'm going to read Tobit chapter 1. I'm going to start at verse 16. And it says, "And in the time of Amenasar, I gave many alms to my brethren and gave my bread to the hungry and my clothes to the naked. And if I saw any of my nation dead or cast about the walls of Nineveh, I buried them." So if he found any Israelite that was, you know, dead and just left in the street, you know, he cared for them. He took care of them and buried them, gave them a proper burial, in a sense. Verse 18 says, "And if the king Sennacherib had slain any when he was come and fled from Judah, I buried them privily." So he did it privately. "For in his wrath he killed many, but the bodies were not found. When they were sought for of the king, and when one of the Ninevites went and complained of me to the king that I buried them and hid myself, understanding that I was sought for to be put to death, I withdrew myself for fear." So as you see him saying that, his people were done bad, they were done wrong, they were killed, many of them were killed. And once they were killed, they would look for the bodies. Well, where the hell? Where is these bodies? Where are all these? You know, he would take them privately and go bury them. You know, had a little bit of decency about them. You know, so they wouldn't be lying out in the streets and just, you know, forsaken and done wrong, because they were already done wrong. But, you know, he felt the need, and he had the heart to want to do something about it. And he did it at his own risk of his title, of his position, of everything. And I'm going to read on, and it says, one of the Ninevites went and complained of me to the king that I buried them and hid myself, understanding that I was sought for to be put to death. I withdrew myself for fear. All right. I'm going to go to the verse, to chapter 2. Skip down to chapter 2, starting at verse 1. Now, when I was come home again, and my wife and Anna was restored unto me with my son Tobias in the feast of Pentecost, which is the holy feast of the seventh, seven weeks. There was a good dinner prepared, and when I saw abundance of meat, I said to my son, go and bring what poor man soever thou shalt find out of our brethren, who is mindful of Yahweh, and lo, I tarry for thee. But he came again and said, father, one of our nation is strangled and is cast out in the marketplace. Then before I had tasted of any meat, I started up and took him up into a room until the going down of the sun. Then I returned and washed myself and ate my meat in heaviness, remembering that prophecy of Amos. As he said, your feast shall be turned into mourning and all your mirth into lamentation. Therefore I wept, and after the going down of the sun, I went and made a grave and buried him. But my neighbors mocked me and said, look what his neighbor said. This man is not yet afraid to be put to death for this matter, who fled away, and yet, lo, he buried the dead again. So basically, he wasn't even concerned about his own self. He was trying to do good in the beginning. You know, he came home, he was captured, and then he was freed and everything. And then he came home to be with his family. He had everything stripped from him. Every single thing stripped from him because of what he did, because he was looking out for others. And even at that, he was like, you know what, when he came home, it was the Feast of Pentecost, and they had a great feast before him. He was like, you know what, go find someone, you know, of our brethren, you know, who is obedient unto Yah, so they may come in and eat with us, a poor man. And when they went out, they found another Israelite, another one dead. So he forsook all of that and went out to bury that Israelite. But even at that, you know, people looked at it and said, you know, well, look at this, man. He done went through all that he went through, and he's still trying. He's still doing the same thing. This is a man who truly does not even care about his own life, but he's so worried about others and being of service unto others. You know, and that's something to really think about. How many of us really, you know, willing to die, to give up our lives, you know, for our brother? How in the world, that's real deep though, you know, because it's easy for us to, you know, to sit in the comfort of our own homes, you know, and to, you know, just to be at peace or whatever the case is. But are we willing to break all of that and risk everything to go out and help, you know, someone else, to help another Israelite, another brother? We were charged to do that, though. And if we look at the life of Messiah, I mean, that's what he lived. That's what he did. He wasn't concerned about his own at all. We look at people like John the Baptist, wasn't even concerned about his own life, had a job to do. But how many of us can come up out of ourselves and come up out of our selfish thinking to be able to be a blessing to someone else, or even potentially to die for somebody else? You know what type of person we need to be able to do something like that? It takes a lot, man. But we see good examples throughout the Word, like people like Tobit, like this, who put it all on the line, everything on the line. A lot of us, we ain't going to give up the cash that we got. We ain't even going to give it up. Y'all heard that guy on the phone the other night. on Pastor's broadcast on how the pastor asked that one question. Have you given all? Have you sold all? You know, people, man, I'm telling you, in this day and age, we're messed up. We better transform these minds. We can't even give up little things, small things. Can't even give up bad habits. You know what I'm saying? Things that are really destroying us. So how the hell are we going to give up major things? How are we going to give up our life? If we can't right now give up, doing the things of this world, you can't give up Sunday. You can't stop eating pork. You can't do all of these things. You can't give up, the luxuries in life. How in the world, when it comes down to a persecution, you're going to be able to stand? You can't walk solo or have enough courage and trust in Yah, enough faith and believe in him that he's going to take care of you, rather than to sit there and be, friends with the world, friends with your family and connected to them. How in the world is that so? You got to be willing to give it all up, suffer all types of persecution. That's what comes with this way. And we're charged, man, to be lovers of our brothers, willing to give it all up for them. How else are we going to build a strong unit? You know what I mean? Without it, we have to have it like that. And as I was reading a guy's shirt the other day. It was an army shirt. You know how they pass out free shirts? And it was called the Army of One. And I read another comment that the guy said, and he basically was talking about, the YouTube video that I forget the guy's name, put it out. It's called Tribes versus Citizens. The guy's name is just slipping my mind right now. One of the guys commented on the video and said, this is the same type of mentality that they teach us in the military, in armed forces, to be like this, like more like a tribe, And that's what we need to develop, Israel, a tribe. We need to be that army. We need to be that army of one. Glory to the King. Well, we got many examples to look at. As I said earlier, the Messiah, his whole entire life, his whole purpose was that of sacrifice. And then mainly for us, Israel. Ephesians 4:1. I therefore, the prisoner of Yahweh, beseech you, I beg you, that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called, with all lowliness and meekness, with long suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, even as you are called in one hope of your calling, one master, one faith, and one baptism, one Elohim and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. 1 John 3:14. We know that we have passed from death unto life, because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death. Whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer. And you know that no murderer hath eternal life abiding in him. Hereby perceive we the love of Yah, because he laid down his life for us. You hear that? Hereby we, I'm going to read it again. That's 1 John 3:16. It says, hereby perceive we the love of Yah, because he laid down his life for us. So it's clearly seen, the love of Yah for us, because he laid down his life for us. And we ought, listen to this, we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. So we got the example right there before us, what we should be doing. But whoso had this world's good, and seeth his brother have need, and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of Yah in him? Hallelujah. It's just not in him. It's just not the case. And that goes for anything. That, if we see each other in need, or whatever the case is, if you could be of help, man, help out. Be there for your brother. Even if it inconveniences you, be there. I mentioned a while ago when I the Sabbath message, talking about how it's so easy for us, you know, to give of our abundance when we have plenty, or when things are good, and when, you know, when all is well. Sure, we'll help out. Sure, if it's convenient for us. But when it becomes to a point where it inconveniences us, then we show, you know, what's really going on, what spirit we're really operating after. But we got to give, saints, and give all. 1 John 3:18, continuing, it says, "My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth." And that's real right there. That right there is really true. You know, I'm starting to see this more and more. You know how, you know, especially with brethren, and you know, we'll talk a good game, but when it comes time to do, then, you know, we find all type of excuses. We make so many excuses, and I don't even think we realize, you know, the excuses that we're making. I mean, they might seem like they are legit, you know, like they, but guess what? At the end of the day, it's an excuse. You know, brothers always say, "Oh, I love you. I do this for that. I do that, man." But when this particular one thing come up, well, you're tired, and you know, you asked to do something, and I mean, you ain't had sleep in a long time, and then here you go, you gotta perform, you gotta be there, you gotta do something. That flesh gonna cry, that flesh gonna complain, and make all kind of excuses and pout, and put up a fight. But look at it, is that you? Look at who wants that? Who wants to accept anything like that? It's not from the heart. See, that's what I'm saying. We do a lot of things. We speak a lot of things out of our mouth, you know, and it's not always, you know, that's not, you know, we think that's, if I say this and I say that, then that's going to make me look like this or that. But now, come on, man, it's all about your actions. It's all about your deeds. And you got to do it in truth. You can't just be talking. 1 John 4:19, we love him because he first loved us. He first loved us. Hallelujah. Continuing on, 1 John 4:20 says, if a man say, "I love Yah," and hated his brother, he is a liar. For he that loveth not his brother whom he had seen, how can he love Yah whom he had not seen? Hallelujah. That's excellent, because it is not possible. We're lying, and the truth ain't in us. 1 John 4:21, and it says, "And this commandment have we from him, that he who loveth Yah love his brother also." So we are commanded to love our brother. And Pastor went over that as well on yesterday, how we need to, you know, there are two tables of testimony. You know, there's the ones that are dealing with Yah, our love for Yah, and then the ones that are dealing with our love for our fellow man. We can't, you know, forsake one and comply to the other. It just doesn't work like that. You know, we hold, and that's how we are, though. I'm learning sometimes, you know, it's a lot of respect to persons. You know, this particular person here will do this and do that, but that particular person, nah, I ain't going to show as much esteem, or I ain't going to give, you know, too much to them. And see, that's how we are. That's a hypocritical mind. That's not cool. But we ought to love. Just as, you know, our brother, we ought to love Yah. But we can't say we love Yah and hate our brother here. It's just not possible. Moving on, Philippians 2:1. It says, if there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels of and mercies, fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than himself. Now that's a lot right there. And that's something I know we need to work on, esteeming others better than ourselves. Just as I read to you about Tobit, just as I read, you know, just as the Messiah esteemed others above himself. The Messiah even said, I don't even have a place to lay my own head, you know? But he still came to work. He still had things to do. You know, he tried to set himself apart in prayer, but the people needed him, so he had to go. He had to do. And it says, continuing on in Philippians 2 and 4, look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of Yah, thought it not robbery to be equal with Yah, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore, Yah also hath highly exalted him, and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee shall bow, of things in heaven and things in the earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is the Master, to the glory of Yah the Father. Hallelujah. And I'm telling you, saints, we got another example, another living example right before us in our shepherd, Pastor Dow. He shows us all the time, you know, what it means to sacrifice, what it means to give all. And, you know, even in Shabbat messages, you know, we see how he just gives us all, how his life, you know, and living together, living with the saints and coming together, what it takes to take sacrifice. You know, it takes a lot. You know, we really got to be there for each other. We can't do this thing alone, as you know, as we have been taught to. But we have a real true example before us, because of a lot of people that call themselves pastors out there in the world, that all they care about is their own belly. You know, and the prophets talked about that, how they don't care nothing about, you know, the people. And it's the same thing today. A lot of pastors out there just really don't care at all. They'll do something if it causes them to be recognized for it. But to give up all and to sacrifice and to really be there, I've never seen a man who's displayed this like I see in our shepherd. So it's just something truly, we all have no excuses, because we have examples before us here in this day and in this hour. And you can try to run from it all you want, or to try to pretend you don't see it, but it's real. And we see how Pastor be tired on blog talks on Sabbath evenings, but yet he still stay there until the last caller is taken. And how he runs, you know, all over, you know, ministering, doing the work for the Most High. And we see the signs following. But we truly see an example in that. So like I said, saints, we really don't have no excuses. I'm going to take a quick break real quick here and come right back, wrap it all up. Glory to the King. Just bear with me 1 second, saints.
Shalom, this is Sister Wenda. I hope that all of you are enjoying the broadcast that you're listening to right now. We appreciate each and every last one of you, our faithful listeners and supporters of the Straightway Truth radio broadcast. We try to make sure that we do our due diligence and do our best to ensure that you have the best broadcast, as well as the truth, coming to you in the hour that we're living in right now. If you would like to help us in this endeavor, your offering will be greatly appreciated in the work of the Ministry of the Most High Yah. Our mailing address for your gift, offering, or letter of support is Charles Dowell, Jr. That's Charles Dowell, Jr. And Dowell is spelled D-O-W-E-L-L. 506 Ellington Drive. Ellington is spelled E-L-L-I-N-G T-O-N. P.O. Box 32, Lafayette, Tennessee. And Lafayette is spelled L-A-F-A-Y-E-T-T-E. 37083. Again, our mailing address is Charles Dowell Jr., 506 Ellington Drive, P.O. Box 32, Lafayette, Tennessee, 37083. If you would like to contact us by way of phone, the country code is 1, area code 615-688-3025. That's 1-615-688-3025. You may leave a message there, and be the Father's will, we will do whatever we can to try to return your message. It is our hope and our prayer that as you continue to listen to the Straightway Truth Ministry, and as you apply the teachings of this ministry, that you are finding peace and growth within you, your family, and life as well. Please tell others so that the truth may also have an impact and touch others' lives so that they may enjoy the benefits of the truth of Jesus Christ just like we all are. Shalom, the King is coming.
Hallelujah, glory to the King, hallelujah. King is definitely coming, hallelujah. Has to come with all of the foolishness and the death and the hell that's going on around us, hallelujah. We give thanks to Yah, hallelujah, for just opening up our eyes in this late hour, glory to the King. And just wanted to come on here and talk to you just to encourage you all to get out of that selfish mindset, to really work hard to esteem others above yourself. And I know how it is, just so long of living a certain way, but it's time to get out of that type of mindset, especially moving forward in the times that we're living in, because we're going to be forced to have to depend on, one another. And if we haven't been building those groups, mutually assisted groups, and we haven't displayed, that love and that charity and that kindness and that total love, and then we're going to find ourselves alone in a bad way. And then we can't grow separately, away from the saints, forsaking the fellowship of the assembly. It's just not good for us. But as we go, grow closer and to the Most High, so we're going to grow closer to each other. It's inevitable. Hallelujah. But we can't do it alone, and we can't hate our brother and expect to grow. We can't hate our brother or sister and expect, to grow stronger or the bond. One of the things that really gets me is especially when my wife and I tell this from time to time, because she always would ask, like, why, what's up with the sisters and the relationship there? Why is it the way it is? And I say, well, you know what? You need to just look at yourself. Yeah, everybody want to ask the question, well, why is there not a lot of love and this and that? But look at yourself and see the way you act in certain situations when you are faced with certain challenges which pertain to, your sister. Are you displaying true love? Are you putting yourself, before putting yourself on the back burner and putting them, esteeming them before yourself? Are you bearing with them and dealing with them with patience? And with long suffering, with meekness, are you? So don't ask the question and don't make those statements, because all you need to do is look right at yourself. You'll find, the problem, and it's up to you whether or not you'll change it to come up with a solution and find something, a better way to go. But the reality of it is too, we don't want to really have mercy upon our brother or our sister, but we expect mercy. We want to point the finger and blame, but look at self. Look at your actions and the role that you play in it all, and you'll see why it's continuing to go on as it does. Because who's going to be the bigger person? Who's going to be the one to submit and just bow down? Look, it's me. I'm wrong. I made a mistake. Whatever. I forgive you, or I bear with you, I deal with you in this. I'm with you, I got your back. Nobody wants to do that. You know, everybody likes to blame and point the finger. But that's really not, you know, that's not helping at all. But we got to, you know, bear one another's infirmities. You know, we got to be there for one another. We're a group. We're a tribe. We are a body. And the body has many parts. Hallelujah. So we got to be there for one another. Esteeming those of a lowly estate, you know, not puffing ourselves up and considering ourselves more than what we are. Remember, we are a body. We are one in spirit. You know, we are one in mind and thought. And hallelujah. I'm going to go ahead and just close it out. Just like I said, I was going to really be straight to the point and just talk to you just about a few things, you know, that I've noticed with the brethren. And I'm sure it can help you anywhere, wherever you are. There's no temptation except that which is common to man. And, you know, we all deal with some of the same issues, same situations. And like I said, it's easier to see, you know, others. It's easier to see your brother. It's easier to see your sister's fault, mistakes, or whatever. But we all need to just fess up and be real with ourselves that we all have, you know, work to do. We have a lot of work to do going forward. And it would be unwise for us to, you know, view our ancients when we read the accounts of them and look down upon them and think, well, man, why did they do so much? Well, why do you do so much? Why do you do the things that you do? Why do you grieve the Most High in ways that you grieve Him? You know, you don't think about that. So, I mean, they're there for our learning. They're there for, you know, our growth and edification. And we can see ourselves through the scriptures. And let's use it for that, so that we can advance ourselves and not make the same mistakes, but we can be that wise and understanding people that Yah called us to be, and especially in this hour where evil is waxing worse and worse and the love of many is just cold, it's waxing cold. Let us show that love, that fervent charity, you know, one for another, you know, that all men might know that we are the disciples of Yah. You know, it's but by that love that we have one for another. That's what's going to join us together through this word that's washing us, that's purifying us and cleansing our minds. Hallelujah. And as I close here, Philippians 1 and 27 says, only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that you stand fast in one spirit with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. 1 Peter 3 and 8 says, finally, be you all of one mind, having compassion one of another, love as brethren, be pitiful, be courteous, not rendering evil for evil or railing for railing, but contrarywise blessing, knowing that you are thereunto called, that you should inherit a blessing. Hallelujah. Since y'all be encouraged this week, I want to just encourage y'all, you know, as we go forward throughout this week, that you be prayerful about your brothers and your sisters. Remember to lift up one another. Love your brother. Love your sister. Hallelujah. Bear with your brother, your sister. Put them before yourself. Esteem them higher than yourself. Be willing to go. Be willing to run. Be willing to be there for them. Hallelujah. In this time, don't think yourself so high and mighty and powerful, you know, that you can't humble yourself, that you can't, you know, don't be so full of yourself that you have to go aside of the group and outside of the group and do your own thing. You know what I'm saying, saints? It's beautiful to dwell together in unity, not in individuality or in independent with an independent mind, but in together in unity and in love. Hallelujah. John 13:35 says, by this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you have love one to another. 1 Peter 2:17 says, honor all men, love the brotherhood, fear Yah, and honor the king. So saints, reach out to a brother or sister this week. And hallelujah. Pray for one another. Glory to the King. Remember to send back all curses and on anybody, on any of our enemies, and on all of those who oppose us, speak any evil words against us, any schemes, or try to set up traps or devices or any of these things. Return all that stuff right back to the sender, saints, and let those curses be returned back unto them. So as they love cursing, let it be returned back unto themselves. Also, remember, Pastor will be in Green Bay, Wisconsin, on December the 9th of 2017. All right. Also, remember, Brother Paul, Brother Ugly, on his weekly, his postings that he do on the Straightway News channel on YouTube to keep you updated on what's going on. Excuse me, in the ministry here. Hallelujah. But in order to love your brother, you must first, saints, you got to love yourself as well. As we, you know, Pastor mentioned on yesterday and going over those unloving spirits and how we've all been deceived by them, telling us that, you know, that we're no good and we're worth nothing. But you know what, saints, we have the victory in the name of Jesus, and we win no matter what. So hallelujah. Y'all be encouraged, saints. It's good to have you here with me this evening. Elder Donnie here signing off, saying peace to you all, and y'all speed. Until we do this again, till I see y'all again, y'all be at peace and be encouraged. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.